New York! Global! Game Jam!
Woo! Welcome to Level Up Your Games Audio, the ultimate strategy guide, Global Game Jam Hyper Edition, and Knuckles. I am AC Menez, Lisa Menez. I'm a composer, sound designer for video games. You can check out my website, acmenezmusic.com. It's me at Twitter, AC Menez. Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter feed is just trash, so I apologize. And yeah, that's me over there. I worked on a couple cool games. Pixel Prison Blues is just like the big ESI 30-player multiplayer game. A lot of cool stuff with that. That's being played in a couple Buffalo Wild Wings locations around the country now. I worked on Labyrinth of Astoria, the score for that. It's a mobile game, mobile dating sim type game. Worked on Defragmented, which is coming out next month on Steam. It's a really cool cyberpunk shoot 'em up game. I'm working on Albert and Otto. I worked on Hive Swap and Black Hole Epiphany, did the end credits theme. So that is me. I'm also the conductor for the Montclair Gamer Symphony Orchestra. Doesn't say it up there, but it's true. So anyway, we're going to get serious about game audio today, right now. That's my serious face. It's me doing what I do best. Second best, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to learn all this really cool stuff today. We're going to learn how you can get really great game audio, even here, Global Game Jam. I know it's just a weekend that, you know, you're going to be doing your work, but you know, learn how to optimize your audio within this time. And I also want to give everyone some advice, you know, how you can get great audio for your game even beyond Global Game Jam. So if time permits, we're going to talk a little bit about like contracts and maybe a little bit about interactive audio. So yeah, we're going to get into some pretty cool stuff. We're going to talk about communication because communication is very important. So I like to promote, you know, great communication between developers and audio people. And that's how you get really great music and sound effects. So communication is key. And that includes giving great feedback, because if you give great efficient feedback to your audio person, they're going to be able to do their job better. So it's important. I'll talk a little bit about musical genres, because sometimes it's hard to like choose what genre of music is best for your game. And there's a lot of like ideas out there. So we'll chat a little bit about that. You know, going to figure out like exactly what information your sound person needs to do their job really well. That kind of goes into communication and feedback and all that good stuff. Breaking down your audio needs simply, also very, very important. It's hard to kind of assess what you need in your project. You know, making a game could be very, very overwhelming. So if you're trying to figure out, what do I need? What sound effects do I need? What music do I need? I'm going to teach you just some tips and tricks for how to better express what you need in your game. And we're going to talk about when you should be conceptualizing sound for your game. That probably should have been yesterday. But today is fine, too. And yeah, like I said, we'll get into some bonus cool stuff. So yeah, let's get started. Audio basics. I think this slide speaks for itself. Audio is really important. Bad audio can just like ruin a great game. Yeah, so you need to think about audio. It is very, very important. Sometimes audio gets kind of like left to the last minute. Like, you know, your game's just in crunch time and you're finishing up and then you're just like, oh crap, we don't have audio. What do we do? So, you know, I'm here to help you guys prevent that from happening. So, when should you be thinking about your audio? Not at the last minute. I mean, you know, like this guy, if you wait till the last minute, it only takes a minute. Sure, but your audio might suck, but it's okay. No, it's not. I'm gonna help you guys kind of like think about when you should be really thinking about your audio. So I believe that audio should be conceptualized at around the same time as your art. So, you know, you're making your game, and you're probably figuring out your art direction kind of early on. So, you know, the audio goes hand in hand with the art to help tell the story. So you should be thinking about it, you know, kind of early on. It doesn't mean that, you know exactly what your game needs at the moment, but, you know, if you're maybe you're listening to some kind of soundtrack and it's inspiring your game, if you're listening to some kind of music, some kind of genre of music, and that's inspiring your game's world, you know, chances are that that kind of music could be that what your game needs. So, you know, as soon as you, like, you're putting your game's world together, you're coming up with your characters, your settings and stuff, you should have some kind of idea what kind of audio your game needs. Likewise, like, for sound effects, because I'm also, you know, putting sound effects in this presentation, you know, it's really important to start, like, as soon as you kind of figure out, like, a list of objects that, you know, are in your game, like, a list of things that are making noise, like, you pick up this water bottle and it makes a noise. I mean, yeah, there you go, it's making a noise. You know, you have, like, a giraffe and it's walking around and eating, whatever it is, like, you know, you want to make a list of all that stuff that's making a noise, keep, like, a really nice document. And, yeah, that'll help you out, because then later on you won't be like, oh, man, I need sound effects, but I don't know how many I need. Just keep yourself a document. You know, if it's like a space shooter game, you could probably need, like, lasers or whatever. Just keep a list of everything that makes a sound in your game, and, you know, you should be good. So, yeah, what I believe is that, and this is true, if you're bringing an audio person in at, like, the very, very last minute of your game, like, 11th hour, they're really not going to have the opportunity to, like, delve into your world and make it come alive. They're just kind of, like, going to be, like, slapping music over it. So you really want to try to bring your audio person in as early as possible. And then, you know, like, beyond Global Game Jam, like, having to, like, bring in an audio person at the last minute means you're going to have to spend more money to get, like, a rush job done on, like, the music. Because contractors will usually, like, try to charge you more if it's, like, a rush job. And you also risk, like, having kind of, like, low quality, you know, not the artist's, like, best work. So try to work with your artist as soon as possible, like, when you're starting your game. So you got a little water break here. So some guidelines to think about while you're conceptualizing your audio. You can think about, you know, where does your game take place? Is it, you know, maybe a medieval swords and sorcery game? Is it in space? Is it in the Wild West? Now, I'll get you to start thinking about what kind of audio you need. Who are your characters? You know, I love saying, like, okay, you might have, like, your swords and sorcery game, but if your main character is Jack Black, that's going to, like, influence the audio direction. You know, you're going to ditch the orchestral music and go with rock and roll. You know, what genre is your game? Is it a puzzle game? Is it, like, a shoot-em-up? Is it a beat-em-up? Like, whatever it is, that will help you think about what audio you might need. Is it a short experience versus a long experience game? Now, I like to ask this because, you know, if you have, like, a game that's, like, one screen, like a tower defense game or some, like, an arcade-style game, you're going to need considerably less music than you would if it was an RPG. So that's why I asked that question. Is it a short game, a long game? What is it? What is making a sound? As I said before, you get, like, a whole list of everything that's making a sound in your game's world. And, you know, that'll help you out there, like, figuring out what sounds you need. As far as music goes, like, you know, when does each song happen in the game? Is it a level? Is it a cutscene? Is it, like, a menu screen? Credits sequence, whatever it is. That'll help you figure out, like, if your track has to loop, if it doesn't loop, to help you figure out if your track should be, like, more epic or maybe more chill, more subtle. So, you know, you want to kind of consider where is each song being placed in the game. You know, for example, like, maybe, like, a track that plays during, like, an exploration sequence would be, like, a lot quieter, a lot more subtle than something that plays during a boss battle, which would be, like, more frantic, more crazy. Last but not least, it's, you know, you want to think about, like, about how many tracks you'll need, and the way you kind of come to that conclusion is you think about, like, every, like, screen of your game, your main menu, maybe a tutorial screen, gameplay, boss fight, whatever, every screen, every scenario of your game, and you start thinking, like, okay, that needs a track, that needs a track, that needs a track. So, you know, like, when I did Pixel Prison Blues, that was pretty easy because it was, like, just an arcade experience, so we figured, like, one kind of, like, vamp for, like, the tutorial part, and then, like, it'll kind of cut into this next part, which is basically the same song, but just with more going on. So, yeah, you just kind of think about how many screens, how many scenarios there are in your game, and that should lead you at least, you know, in the very beginning to the rough number of tracks that you'll need. Now, of course, that changes sometimes. Sometimes as games production goes on, you cut some stuff out, you add some more stuff. I completely understand that, but, you know, it's always good to go into your game with at least these ideas. You know, you never want to, like, leave this again, like I said, to the last minute. So, we'll talk a little bit about musical genres. you know, and like some ideas for musical genres you can use in your game. I love this periodic table of musical genres. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of music out there, and it's really, really hard to figure out like what works for your game. You know, and I brought up the example before, is like, you know, maybe you have like a medieval swords and sorcery game, but Jack Black is your main character. So, you know, like that might help kind of like steer you towards like a rock and roll direction. So again, you know, think about this, you know, everything about your game's worlds, think about the settings, the characters, the art style, and chances are you'll arrive at something that works for you. Again, like what I like to recommend is like if you're listening to music while you're creating your game, while you're like devising the game's world, like music along that line like might help you out. So so sometimes, like I said, you might have to think outside the box. You can have like a Western style game that takes place in space, and you might want to use like a jazz soundtrack for that because, you know, you're influenced by Cowboy Bebop, and Cowboy Bebop is awesome. That's great jazz music. You never know. But yeah, so don't be afraid to like kind of venture outside of just like, you know, if you think that like, oh, it's a sci-fi game, it's a space game, so I have to have like electronic music. You know, don't be afraid to like try out different things. The other thing too, you know, if you talk to your composer, talk to your audio designer, they should be able to help you out. They should be able to like kind of find a genre of music that works for you. They should be able to like, you know, send you some drafts and something, and you can see what you like. But, yeah, you'll find the musical genre that works for your game. It's just, like, it really, like, I can't give you, like, a quick answer, like, oh, what musical genre works for your game. But during the Q&A section, if you guys want to, like, pitch your game ideas and stuff to me, and, like, you're not sure what musical genre might fit, I can try to help you out with that. So, we can talk about that later. All right. So, we got the basics of audio down. So this is going to go a little bit more like nitty-gritty into assessing what you need for your audio. This is kind of like a review of what I said before with the scenario screens and levels and whatnot. How long is each level is also very important. So if you think like if it takes you like 5 minutes to play through a level, maybe you'll want like a minute and a half loop going on. If like each level takes you like 20 minutes, you might want something longer. If each level takes you like 2 minutes, probably 30 seconds is best. So you want, like, if you're making a looping track for a game, you want it to kind of be congruent to however long your level is. And I said before, create lists of all objects in the game that make sounds. So, you know, anything the player interacts with, any environmental sounds, like if your player is in a forest, you know, you might want sounds of, like, birds chirping. You might want, like, maybe, like, a river kind of, you know, babbling in the side. You know, you might want all sorts of stuff. The other thing, too, about sound effects is I find that UI sounds often get overlooked. So, you know, if I'm getting, like, a sound effect list from a developer, I'll see, like, a lot of great stuff, and it's really cool, but then I'll, like, never see UI sounds. So UI sounds are also important. So, like, anytime, like, you know, a player opens a menu or, you know, like, selects an option, you want some kind of, like, sound effect to go with that to kind of, like, confirm that the player's made a selection. The player might not necessarily realize it, but without that sound effect, like, it's going to feel kind of weird. They're going to be like, did I do something? Did something happen? So UI sounds are very, very important. Voiceover is another one, too. You know, because sometimes you might want voiceover. Like, if an enemy, you know, gets hurt and dies and something, like, you want them, you know, to like, or whatever. You might want that. You might want some kind of narration. Maybe in a cutscene you want voiceover. So that's also something to think about. Assessing, like, voiceover needs, too, is, like, a whole other kind of cost in creating game audio, so thought I would include that in there. So what's really important, something I like to convey to developers, is that you don't need to speak musician to talk to your musician. You don't have to, like, say, like, oh, you know, this needs to be in sonata form and have this cadenza over here, and can you end on a plagal cadence? No, it's fine. You don't have to say any of that. You know, if you just convey, like, the emotions that you want to convey with your game, like, this part of the game makes the player feel scared. This is supposed to be, like, a tense moment. This is supposed to be very joyous. If you use very descriptive words and you say that to your musician, you know, they'll understand. So just speak, you know, simple language, convey emotions. You could show some musical examples. I love, personally, like, when a developer will show me, you know, like, a musical example you know, I want my track to kind of sound like this. I like the trumpets from this track, but I like the guitar from this. So I like that personally. A lot of composers, I think, work that way too. So showing musical examples is a great way to go. And as I said before, if like some kind of music inspires your game, you know, you can also convey that to your composer. But I think that goes with musical examples. So yeah, you don't have to worry so much about like music. You don't have to talk music theory to a composer. They're going to understand what you want. Just tell them what the players should be feeling, and they should be able to handle it. All right, so in the slideshow, I just have a quick reference here for whether tracks, depending on what scenario they're in, should be looping or non-looping. I'm not sure if these slides are going to get sent to everyone here, but I guess they will, so you can like refer to that later on. Usually in game music, tracks should be looping, like exploratory sections, level sections, boss battles. You know, if you have like a cutscene that's going to be like more through composed, it's not going to loop. And a credit scene too won't loop, but most of the time, like, game tracks do need to loop, so something to keep in mind. Alright, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about sound effects. So, yeah, when you're thinking about your sound effects needs, I like to have, like, you know, a list of sound effects that need to be done, kind of broken down into categories, like player sounds, you know, objects that they interact with, like those kind of sounds, environment, ambient sounds, UI sounds. So I kind of like to have all those broken into, like, those categories. So what I have here in this picture is this example from Legend of Zelda, and we all know when you solve a puzzle in Legend of Zelda that you get like that chime sound effect, and it's very like affirming to the player. So sound effects often get overlooked, but the thing is with sound effects is that they can like really cue the player in, to, you know, whether they're doing something right or whether they're doing something wrong. So it's really important to have them in there kind of as like a guide for the player. So again, you solve your puzzle in Legend of Zelda and you get that chime sound and it tells you, hey, okay, I got something right. It's really cool. Likewise too with sound effects, sometimes with like an absence of music, sound effects can be very, very effective. So if you want to kind of create more like, say like a spooky horror ambience, you know, you might not necessarily want to like have something like melodic going off in the background. You might not necessarily want a music track. But instead, you can, you know, do kind of more of a soundscape. You can have, like, creepy winds kind of in the background. You can hear, like, creaking, you know, wherever you are, monsters groaning. So, you know, you can really convey the mood of the scene better sometimes with sound effects than you can with music. So sound effects can be used like that. There's a lot of very interesting uses for sound effects. You know, again, in games, they can kind of guide the player in the right direction. Like, if they're doing the correct thing, you know, a sound effect can be used for that. Another one of my favorite examples of like an audio cue helping out a player is in the Ace Attorney series, and it's what's really cool about this is that it's like the lack of a sound effect. That like when you like you basically an Ace Attorney, you play as a lawyer and you're like trying to like figure out the cases and stuff, and then when you have like this revelation of the case, you say like the right thing. Then like the music and everything cuts out and it's quiet, and that's how you know that you picked the correct option. So something that is really cool too. But yeah, try to keep sound effects, stingers and all sorts of little like audio cues in mind. So like, you know, just to tell the player that they're doing something right, that they're progressing correctly, or even to tell the player that they're doing something wrong. Like if they select a wrong option, you want maybe some kind of buzzer or something. So yeah, sound effects can guide the player like sometimes in ways that you wouldn't even like think about. All right, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about feedback. I know sometimes giving feedback to a composer or sound designer can be very difficult, especially, you know, like if you feel like you don't know a whole lot about music. But yeah, I want to give some tips on how we can give good feedback. So yeah, everyone working on your project needs some kind of feedback. It's very, very important to be able to do that. You know, you're going to really help shape the sounds or the music into its final form if you're giving good feedback. And yeah, like, you know, me as the composer, say for your project, I need to know what I'm doing right or what I'm doing wrong. So if I send you a track, you know, that I want you to kind of review and listen to, and you're just kind of like, well, I like it, but I don't know, that doesn't help me. So it's like, okay, so does it, do you not like the trumpet? Do you not like the tone of the trumpet? Do you think, like, it sounds too spooky? Does it sound, like, too happy? What's going on? So just try to be as specific as possible. And again, just, you know, think about the emotions you're trying to convey in your game. So if you have, like, this moment of, like, tension in your game, and I send you a track and it just sounds, like, too peppy, you can just say, like, this doesn't really make me feel tense. This makes me feel, like, happy, but I want to feel tense. So, just try to, like, relate it back to the context of the game, see how that works. In the next slide, there's some more information on how to give feedback. But basically what I want to say is that good, efficient feedback is going to save you on a lot of back-and-forth iterations, which is great because, you know, if you have a bunch of back-and-forth iterations, you're wasting more time. We don't want to do that, especially in game jam, in a game jam setting. And the other thing, too, is beyond a game jam, like, reducing on like back-and-forth iterations is going to save you money as well. And we all want to save money, right? So, yeah. Giving good feedback is going to be essential for everyone here. Oh, I thought my next slide had tips for feedback, and it doesn't. It's this. Oh, well. So, I'll just kind of go off the cuff here. So, okay. I talked a little bit about, like, giving musical feedback. You know, you can try to, like, relate it to the context of your game. But there's other ways to give feedback, too. So, say if you, like, put it in the game, and then maybe, like, you feel that the music and the sound effects are clashing, you can point that out as well. If you feel like maybe you're putting it in the game and you're going through your level and the track just seems like too short and is getting really repetitive, that's something you can say. So you might want to consider giving feedback both on like the track itself and then how the track works or doesn't work in the context of your game. So, you know, if you know, your audio person sends you a track, put it in your game, try to play it, try to see how it feels, because sometimes too the track on its own might not feel quite right, but when you put it in the game, it could work. So try to like listen to it on both levels. And again, like say like, you know, they send you a track and it just sounds like too sad for like the moment, you know, in the game. Or maybe it's just like too intense and you feel like it's overbearing like the action of the game. You know, those are things that you can talk about. You know, sometimes you might not know exactly like what you don't like about it. And like maybe there's like something like a certain sounds. Sorry, there's a certain sounds in the game, in the track, I mean, that is just, like, irritating for some reason. So you could probably say, like, you know, that thing in the high sound, you don't have to say, oh, that's a flute, that's fine. Like, that kind of high sound, like, is a little bit irritating to me. I think it's a little, like, a little too much. Can you, like, scale that back? Your composer should be able to understand. So, yeah, just try to, like, give good, efficient feedback. If there's really nothing you feel like that needs to be improved, you could say that too. But really just think about the track and really just try to like consider again, how does it work in the context of the game? Do you think like the mood's being captured? Do you think it's going to work for your game? Oftentimes I'll talk to developers and they'll be like, yeah, I got a track from a composer and like they did a good job. I don't know, there's something still like off about it. And the issue there is that, you know, they're not sure how to give feedback about it. So, yeah, learning how to give good feedback is going to be really, really important. And you all can do it. You don't need musical training. Just try to, like, write down some things about the track and try to convey that to your composer. All right. Finding the audio designer. Here at Global Game Jam, I'm sure there's a bunch of them floating around, but even beyond Global Game Jam, like, it can be difficult sometimes to find an audio designer for your project, so a couple tips on how to do that. So, yeah, how do you find the right person for the job? No one likes Futurama. I'm sorry, I failed. All right, so the first thing you probably want to do, like, you know, you're going to meet an audio person, say you're going to come to a play crafting event, and you're going to be like, oh, hey, there's an audio person. You chat with them and whatnot. You're looking for an audio person for your game. So maybe after you beat that person, you know, you'll go home. You'll take a listen to their portfolio. So the reason why I say this is that, like, you know, you're going to want to see, like, what kind of music this audio person does. What do they do well? So say, you know, you're making, like, your cyberpunk shoot 'em up game or whatever. You're making, like, your space opera western, whatever it is. Say, okay, I want some jazz music. You go listen to their portfolio, and maybe it's, like, full of electronic music. So maybe you'll think, okay, I'm not sure if they're a good fit. You listen to the next composer's portfolio, and it's got that jazz music that you're looking for. Then you're like, oh, hey, that's a good fit. You know, a lot of us composers, we specialize in a style of music. Like, for example, I specialize in orchestral and rock music. So you'd listen to my portfolio and be like, okay, she does the orchestral thing. That's what I'm looking for. So yeah, just to be able to think about, like, what kind of music are you looking for in your game, and try to, like, look for that in the artist portfolio. You know, you want to talk to audio people about your game. If they seem, like, really interested in working on it, that's probably somebody you're going to want to work with. I believe, you know, in order to make really good audio, you have to love the game you're working on. So, yeah, try to find someone who's interested in your game, and you will find somebody, like, I guarantee it. So it's just like art. You just need to find someone who's, like, the right fit for your game. Like, when you're looking for an artist, you know, you want to find someone who's, like, visual style, like, fits, like, what you're thinking about. So same thing with portfolios, like music portfolios. You want to just find someone who's, like, music style fits what you're thinking about. So fortunately, you are here at Global Game Jam this weekend. Welcome to Global Game Jam. And there's a lot of people here who want to work with you, a lot of audio people here. So what's really great about that is, you know, you're going to meet someone here this weekend on your team. You're going to work with them. You're going to make a super awesome game. And it's going to be great. So then in the future, when you're making your next game, you'll be like, oh, hey, who's going to make my music? Yeah, the person I worked with at Global Game Jam was super cool. I'm going to call that person. And they're going to make my music again. So you're making great connections here. So I encourage everyone here, if you're not an audio person, go meet audio people. If you are an audio person, meet developers. Take advantage of the, you know, Global Game Jam, the setting you're in, and meet as many people as possible this weekend. And yeah, so there might be other, like, deciding factors. You know, if you have to hire a contractor, there might be other factors too that are important to you. You know, do you want somebody local? Do you not care about someone being local? What are their rates? That do they fit into your budget? Personality, is personality important? You know, you don't want to work with a jerk, right? Unless you do, I don't know. Are they totally awesome? So yeah, you want to look for those factors, and whatever is important to you, you want to look for. So keep all that in mind. All right, we're going to talk about communication now. I hope I'm not communicating too quickly. I did this thing where I talk real fast, but I think it's okay. All right, so communication's really important. I've been in situations where, you know, I'm trying to ask, like, developer, okay, so what do you want? What should I do? And this is, like, radio silence. And it's just like, I'll do whatever, I guess. Music. So, yes, you should be able to communicate with your audio person, any contractor on your team, your artist, your marketing person, whoever. You should be able to communicate with them. It's very, very important. Can't stress that enough. So, this might go without saying, but please answer your contractor's emails on a timely basis. And there's been times where I've sent out an email, it just goes off into email space, and there's no reply. And, like, a little tear rolls down my eye. I'm like, what did I do? Why don't you like me? So, yeah, answer their emails. They're working for you, so you should do that. I really like, I'm a big proponent of having Skype or Slack or whatever communication channel you want. Having some kind of, like, communication channel that you both agree on, you know, a game developer, audio person, Facebook, I don't know, whatever, Twitter, somewhere you can be easily reached. And you can have your conversation there. So, like, you know, when I work on Teams, sometimes I have a Slack, sometimes, you know, they have a Facebook chat, an email thread, whatever it is. But just having some kind of, like, central location for communication Very, very important. I love the idea of streamlining or prioritizing like your tasks. You can use something like Trello, Jira, even like spreadsheets on Google Drive. It's totally cool. So, you know, you can kind of just like lay out for your audio person, okay, I need these 5 sound effects, and you can lay out like every item. And then they have a little checkbox when they like, you know, do that thing. So, yeah, having like tasks like that, very, very important. So much more preferable to like an email thread that's like this long and, you know, asking for like 30 different tracks and stuff. It's kind of keeping it organized. It doesn't take that long. And yeah, very good. Making time for discussions and check-ins, also very important. So often when I work with developers, like, we'll establish, like a check-in time or, like, a rough draft time or something. So, it's, you know, just hop on Skype, have, like, a quick, like, 10-20-minute chat to get you both up to speed. Because, you know, on the game side, the development side, there's a lot changing throughout the whole process of the game. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, that's important to be able to convey that to your audio person. You know, you don't... You know, say like you're making a level, you have like 5 levels, and say you add a 6th level, but you don't tell your audio person, but you wanted a, you know, music for it, but then you don't tell them. That's not cool. So update them. Yeah, and you know, even like, you know, related to like a global game jam, like I know like this is a busy weekend, this is just like crunch weekend, but still trying to make a little time for discussion and check-ins, like even if it's like a 5-minute chat, like you got that track done? Okay, cool. How's the next track going? Sounds good. You know, with check-ins, you can also, like, help kind of steer your audio person in the right direction. So, like, maybe in a check-in, they'll send you a rough draft of a track. You can listen to it together. You can discuss it. So I'm a really big proponent of discussions and check-ins, not just like, all right, here's your work. All right, see you in a month. Because, again, games change a lot during development, so very important. And yeah, so why is communication important? Well, I've been saying why communication is important. This is why communication is really important. So if you're like effectively communicating what your game needs and you know, what, you know, just basically yeah, what your game needs, you know, you're going to save yourself a lot of time with revisions of assets and all that good stuff. Your composer's audio designer is likely to get things right the first time if you're very, like, communicative about what you need up front. So that's very, very important. And it's really important, too, for your audio designer to feel like they're working with you, that they are part of the team, that they're not just, like, you know, working in their audio dungeon somewhere, like, by themselves and just, like, throwing music at things. You know, and I've talked to some audio designers where they don't feel like they're part of a team, and this is just due to poor communication. So involving your audio designer, we're people too, I promise. Very, very important. All right. So this is really important. That's why it's in, like, all caps. I think that's, like, size 50-ish fonts. I don't know. I should have done 72, but that's too much text. So you got to tell your audio designer everything you can about the game so they can do their job. You know, I know sometimes, like, it's really, really hard to, like, you know, you feel like if you're giving away too many details, that they might, like, take your ideas and run with it. And I understand. Have them sign an NDA. Like, if you have to, it's totally fine. That's a non-disclosure agreement. So basically what that is like, if you have them sign that, then they can't say anything about your game idea. Otherwise you'll fire them out of a cannon into the sun. You can put that in your NDA. So yeah, just try to tell them everything you can. Like when I'm working on audio for a game, I ask as many questions as I can. Like, what is the setting? Like, when is this track supposed to play? You know, can I see maybe some artwork? Can I like see the game in action? I think it's very immensely helpful too if you have a build of your game to send that to your audio designer, because playing a build of a game speaks even so much more than, like, words can. But, you know, if you don't have a game, like, a build available, artwork is fine, reference tracks are fine, all that, but just give as much information as possible. Encourage your audio designer to ask questions. If they don't ask questions, make them ask questions. They should be asking questions. Like I said, I ask tons of questions, but the reason why I do that is so I can get all the information I need. And so my track can be like, I can nail it from the beginning instead of having to go through like 47 revisions. Which, funny story, one time I did have to go through like 47 revisions on like a little like vocal line. And anyway, yeah, so just say everything you can about your game. It's fine. And again, if you're worried, get that NDA out. You know, like I'm framed of NDAs. People ask me, oh, what are you working on? I'm like, I signed an NDA, I can't say. So yeah, it'll be fine. Although Global Game Jam, I don't think you need to do that. I think it's okay. All right. Oh, so there's my feedback slide. Sometimes my slides just jump back 40 slides for no reason, and then like I'm like, oh, the slide's gone as I'm doing the presentation, and then I get to the slide, I'm like, aha, there it is. So these are all the feedback tips. But I did talk about this already. So yeah, this is a really good slide. Ooh. One thing I did not bring up was, does it loop seamlessly? So that can happen sometimes. So say like your composer is sending you a loop, you know, you take it into something like Audacity and you can do, I think it's just loop play is the option. You go to playback, loop play. And if you hear like a little like blip or bop or something that's like in the feedback, in the loop, then it's not looping seamlessly. And then in your game, you're going to hear that little blip and players are going to hear that. And they're going to be like, oh, what jank is this? Oh. So you want it to loop seamlessly. Very, 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 very important. You don't want players to notice where your track is looping. Sometimes you might not even hear that blip, but there could be like a very obvious, like maybe like attack on the first note that like really obviously says like, oh, here's the beginning of the track again. So you want it to just be like as subtle as possible. What I like to do to like test the loop of a track is like I'll let it like loop play again in Audacity like for quite a while, maybe like 5-10 minutes, and I'll go off and I'll do things like I normally do, like drink coffee and stand around. And if I like really start noticing like the loop and like the pop and stuff, then I'm just like, nah, I gotta fix this. So yeah, that's something really important to like listen for, if loops loop seamlessly, because if they don't, that's it's not cool. So yeah, a couple other things. Does the melody get tiring is also very important. If like something, you know, a track can have like a really great melody and you're like, yeah, I'm really digging this. And then like after like 30 playthroughs, you're like, oh Jesus, I hate this. This is getting on my nerves. So if you're saying that, your players are going to say that too. So writing melodies for games is really, really tricky because it's really tempting to write like a super cool melody, but you got to listen to that over and over again to make sure that that does not get tiring. So that also goes into like how long your track is. If you have a 30-second track with like a really cool melody, it's probably going to get like irritating after a while. So yeah. Also, again, second to last point, please test it in your game. Make sure the track works with the sound effects. Make sure that like, you know, if the track is like kind of like low ends like heavy and your sound effects are low and heavy, like they're gonna kind of cancel each other out, so you want to think about that. You just want to make sure that everything can be heard when you place it in the context of your game. So, and yes, sound effects, how to give feedback on sound effects. I just said, you know, does the sound and the music work together? That's really important. Does it fit the animation? Now, if you need a sound effect that goes with a particular animation, I would highly recommend sending a GIF or some kind of video, even like an MOV file, to your composer or your sound designer, rather. Sometimes they're the same person. So send them that so that they can kind of score the sound effect to like that animation. So you want to make sure that, you know, it fits the animation in the game. Make sure that that all works out. So does it make sense for the object in your game to make that kind of sound? So like if, you know, you ask for like maybe like a gun sound and it comes back sounding like a sock or something, that's like my term for like when something just sounds like thuddy and the sock, then, you know, you're going to want to like try that again. You know, you want to like, it's kind of weird because sometimes like a sound effect in isolation doesn't quite work out, but when you put it with the game's object, then it totally works out. So just make sure, like, you know, it kind of fits, like, like whatever the object is, whatever is happening, the animation. Make sure it just like it feels like it works with it. And yeah, just use your intuition. I mean, you'll be able to know like if it's a bad sound effect. Honestly, like you can figure out like if the sound effect doesn't work or is bad like instantly. Like you'll know something's wrong. So I believe in you. You can do it. Do all the sound effects work well together? Yeah, you want to make sure that you know they're all fairly balanced. That like if something's off in the distance, that it's quiet. You know, if something's like right next to you, that's louder. You want to make sure everything kind of meshes well together. And yeah, if it works when it's placed in the game, like I said, just yeah, you want to check for all this good stuff. I think I had another point too, and it's not up there. I'll remember it eventually. Like at 3 a.m, I'll just jolt out of bed and be like, that's what it was. All right. Cool, I think we're doing pretty good on time because I want to open this up to Q&A. Does everyone have lots of questions ready to go for me? I'll just keep talking if not. No questions? Okay, cool. We'll do Q&A in like T-minus 60 seconds. But get those questions ready. Everyone, get questions ready. Get them in your heads. Want to answer questions. These are cool free resources because we're at Global Game Jam. And sometimes, you know, like you might at the last minute be like, oh man, I need a sound effect. So there's soundbible.com. The thing is with Sound Bible, first of all, their quality is pretty hit or miss. But the other thing is too, is like a lot of the sounds can't be used in a commercial project. But for a game jam, it's totally cool. Download the sounds, tweak it a little bit in Audacity, which is over there. And throw it in your project. Totally cool, totally valid. Soundscrate. I like to call it Soundscrate, I don't know. You can get a couple free downloads on it. Like you can usually get 2 anonymously, and if you like create a login, you can get like 5 per day. They're a little bit better than Sound Bible. But yeah, again, just be careful with like licensing because they can vary. Like Sound Bible, for example, and I think Soundscrate as well, like some of them are like completely like royalty-free use. You can do whatever the heck you want with them. Whatever project is all good. But then others are going to be like, you have to attribute, you know, all this and that. That's why I say like, just like keep it like limited to like a non-commercial project and you're okay. If you get like the ones that say like attribution, even if it's a game jam, I would say just do it. Just attribute the sound effect. It's the right thing to do. But yeah, you can check those out for some sound resources. Soundscrate in particular has like some music stuff you can get to. So if you need a little like spot of music in your game, you can go for that. And yeah, I have some bonus material. We might just kind of skip over interactive audio because it's, you know, just here at a game jam. But the basic thing with interactive audio is you can do some really, really cool stuff with it that saves your composer from having to do lots of extra work, lots of extra unnecessary work. Saves the programmer as well. If you guys are curious about interactive audio, just send me an email or hit me up on like Facebook or Twitter or whatever and can answer more questions about that. There's some resources for interactive audio systems. I have some more like tips for like getting great audio on a small budget because as indies, you know, we have to work with our indie budgets over here. Again, like, you know, if anyone outside the class wants to, like, reach out to me about that, feel free. So this isn't too relevant to game jams, but if you're going to work with an audio person in the future, you want them to sign a contract. Sorry, I'm just kind of rushing through this real quick so we can get to questions. So, yeah, those contracts are super, super important. You want to make sure that that it's just basically like a rule book to play by. So again, like, you know, after Global Game Jam, you gotta go off and make your second game or whatever game you're making. Make sure that everyone who is doing work for you signs a contract. And there's a lot you can include in your contracts with, like, deadlines, how you're gonna pay the audio person, you know, if you do, like, a lump sum or you do an hourly rate, are you gonna do royalties, back-end percentage, you know, amount of assets needed, and revisions. So, like, you know, you could do something like, okay, you know, I get up to 3 revisions on any sound effect or music track. That's usually what I go with. Licensing, like, do you get exclusive license to the music they create? Or is it like a non-exclusive thing where they can license it out to other games or movies or whatever? Who owns the rights to the audio? I do a lot of work where like the company will just own the rights, so that can vary. Can the composer release and sell an OST and make money from it? So these are all things you can include in contracts. Just whatever your terms are, you discuss with your composer, with your contractor, discuss all your terms, and that's what that is. And yeah, so there's my contact info, and I'll open up to about 10 minutes of questions. So you had a question in the back, right?
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
So what's your like program of choice for?
So I'm gonna actually repeat the questions because of the stream. So the question was, what is my program of choice for composing? I use two. I use Finale at like the basic composition stage because I'm a music school dork and like classically trained and all that, and I gotta have my sheet music. So it helps me out a lot. So like I'll put everything there into sheet music form. Unless it's like a rock song, then I'll skip that step. So I'll use that. I'll convert it to a MIDI. I'll put it into Logic. So I just use Logic as my basic DAW, my basic DAW, and finish the music from there. Yeah.
What's your like balance of synths versus real?
The question is, what is my balance of synths versus real like recorded instruments? Since I'm like, you know, more rooted in like orchestral music and rock, especially with rock, I record like as much as possible. I do the drums usually as like, because I don't play drums. So I'll do that as one of Logic's like drummer functions, but like all the guitars, the bass guitar, you know, like any organ, piano parts and stuff, like I'll record live. Actually, like the organ and piano, I'll like use like the samples for that, but I'll record it like on a keyboard. And yeah, I'll have a couple mics set up so I can record some guitar amps and yeah. And with like orchestral music, that's a little tougher because, you know, obviously like it's hard to get the budget to record a full orchestra. So what I'll do is I'll like get a couple live players in there. Like if it's a horn solo or something, I'll get my friend who plays horn to come in and play. But then I'll layer that with, you know, some synthesized strings and stuff like that. I use the East West samples, which I like a lot. So I kind of actually take all that and put that together. And I actually have like a recording that I did with that kind of method where it's like about half players and half synthesized. It's for, I'll play like a teeny bit of it. So yeah, that's like basically, I shouldn't play too much of that. So that's basically like about half synthesized and half real players. So. Yeah, the strings were synth. At the time, my orchestra had no string players. We were like Montclair Gamer Symphony Concert Band. So, yeah. But yeah, so it's all synth strings. And then, like, I got, like, trombone players, horn players, trumpet players, clarinet, piccolo. I recorded everybody with one microphone one at a time. So just kind of, like, rotated everyone in and out of my studio and just recorded all of them and put that all together. So that's the indie way. Yeah, that's how you make orchestra music as an indie. Guess anyone's wondering. All right, any other questions? We have like 8 minutes worth of. Yes, Jeff.
So, how helpful would you say using middleware to modernize audio?
So, the question is how helpful is using middleware like FMOD or WISE? It really depends on the game. I actually haven't been involved too many like projects where it was needed, but it can be very, very, very helpful. So like for example, like you can use like FMOD or any kind of middleware to kind of like get a lot of mileage out of your music. So, you know, you don't have to write as much music, but what you can do is like make various stems of your music. So if you kind of think of like your track as like in a kind of vertical sense where you have like maybe high instruments, accompaniments, like chords and stuff, low instruments like that, and percussion maybe, you can kind of like trigger the stems on and off, like as different things happen to kind of like get like, kind of like make your track to sound like more lively. So instead of like the same kind of static loop over and over again, you can kind of trigger stems on and off. Another way you can think about like your music is like kind of more in like kind of chunks, like A section, B section, you know, like C, D, E or whatever. And then you can have FMOD randomize those bits. So, like, you can go A, E, B, D, C, and kind of just, like, keep randomizing that. I actually had a friend who did that for one of his games. So it's, like, you know, you get, like, a lot more mileage out of just, like, one song. So I think FMOD is a great solution. Like, if you want kind of, like, the sense of more music, but, like, you're running more on a budget, it's really great. And the great thing about FMOD is that it integrates really nicely into Unity, which is a popular way to make games in the indie space. And for, like, under, I think, a 150K budget or something like that, it's totally free to use. So FMOD's great. Yeah, so I would say it's really cool. It just depends on the game, though. So it really depends on what you're doing. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you might not. All right. Questions? More questions? We have, like, 4 minutes for questions. Speak now. All right.
Oh, yeah, I just remember.
All right, cool.
When you're, like,
mm-hmm.
Like, do you have a workflow that you go to first? Like, do you make the main theme first and then build the sound effects after that? Or is it just kind of like a game by game basis?
Well, if I'm like doing both, sorry, the question was if you're the only composer, or I guess audio designer,
yeah,
because you mentioned sound effects. So if you're the only audio designer on a game, what is your particular workflow? It might change from game to game. Like, sometimes, like, I'll feel that the game really needs some kind of main theme to get started. Kind of solidify. What I like to do mostly is get started on the sound effects and start making those, because sometimes in music, like, you know, I'll have an idea of what I want to do, but, like, I want to see the game progress a little bit more before I can start, like, really figuring out the music. But at least sketching out basic musical themes, I'll do that. And getting something like sound effects, I think, is a little more, like, it's a little easier to kind of wrap your head around and get that done right away. So I usually like to start with sound effects. All right, I guess we're done. All right, thank you, everybody.